Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
So I'm just going to simply invite you to open yourself up right now to a touch. I don't have the ability to go around and touch each one of you. Actually, you know, if something funny happens to me when I preach, my hands get cold. You wouldn't want me to touch you. Because I get nervous. I guess all my blood goes up here and my hands get real cold. But it's Jesus. It's not me touching you. It's Jesus. But I want you to do this. Remember what I said at Michelangelo's creation. God was reaching out to Adam, but Adam was reaching out to God. And those of you who are listening by CD, you can do it right where you are. I'm just simply going to ask you to take your hands, put them on your lap with open palms. It's kind of a receptivity posture. You know, much like you get your radio, you got to put the antenna up so that you can get the airwaves that are coming by. I want you to close your eyes and realize that God has called you here by name tonight. What are you struggling with? Where are you hurting? Lift that up to God. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here with your risen presence. Just as you walked the Sea of Galilee and you walked the roads of Jerusalem, we trust that you're here right now. And Lord, we hurt in so many ways. We need your healing. I pray for those who are troubled in their mind, who are anxious and worried all the time, and they've just given up, they've resigned themselves to the fact that that's just the way it's going to be all the time. Jesus, Prince of Peace, touch them right now. May they sleep well. Trust in you. I pray for those who are afraid, depressed, guilty, feeling ashamed, those who have rejected themselves. Touch them right now, Lord, right where they need it. I pray for those who are struggling in their relationships, marriages, children, with themselves, as I said. Lord, touch them right now. In faith, we believe. And I want to pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with their bodies. We all have aches and pains, and we know that you can heal us and give us new life. We believe. Touch people with arthritis right now. Touch people who have back problems right now. People who have muscle spasms. Jesus, touch them in a beautiful way. High blood pressure. Touch people with any disease. Jesus, you are our healer. And in a special way, Lord, I pray for all those who spiritually feel separated from you, and they've come to the mission tonight because they want to know you and experience your love. I pray that this night will be a new beginning for them and that they'll never be the same. And I realize that there are some First Communion parents here tonight with their children. I pray that their children's communion will be a communion with you, and that they will come into communion, the parents themselves, because they're here tonight. So Jesus, in faith, we believe that we're going to leave this church building different than the way we came in. Soak it in right now. Let Jesus touch you. Saturate us, Lord. I want everybody after me to say the name of Jesus when I say it. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Well, the Bible says that there's no other name by which we can be saved. The precious name of Jesus. Demons flee. Sickness flees. It's Jesus who saves. After me, Jesus.
Jesus.
Blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus!" And Jesus touched him and he saw. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that the name of Jesus is upon your people. I claim them for Christ. May they experience new life. And I ask your blessing upon them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I want you to trust that something has just happened in you. Maybe you don't feel it. Maybe you'll go home tonight, you know, you'll be laying in bed like I did in Modesto, and all of a sudden there was a whole lot of shaking going on. And I mean, I wasn't in Hawaii either. I mean, there was something happening. And it doesn't always happen, and we're not just after feelings. But I want you to really grow in your relationship with Jesus. I want him to be your best friend. I want you to know him better than you know your spouse. And I want you to absorb and soak in his beautiful light and his life. So let me continue. It's not over. You might be thinking, oh, wow, that was quick. There's a lot I want to tell you about Jesus, of course. You know, the scriptures so bear witness to him in so many different ways. And just that one little verse that I had tonight, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest." And I wanted to begin in a healing mode because that's exactly who Jesus is. But then, you know, we have to continue with a lifestyle of coming to him. See, that's the word that he used so many times in the Gospels. He would say it to his apostles, to his disciples. He'd say, "Come, follow me." Yesterday we heard the story of the rich young man, and he said, "Come, follow me." And he couldn't do it. But most people, when they were invited by Jesus, they did follow him. And you know, come is a word that means to leave one place and to go to another place. It means to approach someone, to draw near to someone when you come. And for the apostles, when they were given that gracious invitation, you know, Jesus is so gracious, he's so hospitable. He said, "Come all," you know, for rich, for poor, for young, for old, for male, for female, for black, for white, Hispanic, no matter who you are invited to come. He's not exclusive, he's inclusive. And so he said, "Come to me." So it means that there's an approaching. Now for the apostles, remember when they were at the Sea of Galilee, they left their nets, they left the boat, they left their fathers behind, and they came. And I'll tell you, you know, as gracious and healing as Jesus is for you, and it's unconditional, and it's free, and he'll touch you just as you are. However, if you really want to follow him, and that's the call, discipleship, you got to leave something behind. And I just want to challenge you with that tonight as we continue. Is there something that you know you need to leave behind? For me, when I was a young man at 19 years old, I heard that call to come. And you know what? I don't think there was so much going on in my life that I didn't know if I could come, and I knew I had to change. And I call them the three S's, to be a little vulnerable with you tonight. I had to give up, first of all, swearing. Because at age 19, I was talking about Jesus a lot, and I wasn't so much believing in him. I was talking about him on the golf course, if you know what I mean. And God, you know, a lot of times I just say, "God." And one of the first things that God dealt with me about as I started to follow Jesus was my mouth. You know, Isaiah had that great vision of God in Isaiah 6, where we say, "Holy, holy, holy." We say it at every Mass. And he said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. And with my eyes I've seen the Lord of hosts." So an angel takes a tongue and touches his tongue. He says, "Now you're clean." And then the second S that I had to deal with, there was swearing. The second one was stealing. I'm not proud of this, but it's in my books. You know, I reveal myself in those books. I was working at an amusement park as a young man, and we used to have these, you know, game stands, and we'd have these aprons on. Carpenter's aprons. You know, when people would come to play the game, you know, you just take the money, stick it in the apron. And it would always be like, you know, one for them, one for me. Nobody ever caught me. And I was making a pretty good wage as a teenager. But Jesus dealt with me about that, and you know what? I had to leave that behind. If you really want to get to know him, he will deal with you about stuff. And I really wanted to get to know him. I said, "I've had, you know, this money, it doesn't matter. I will change. I will grow." And so, because he's so beautiful, you know, I remember watching the movie Jesus of Nazareth, Don't let me forget the third S. I was watching the movie Jesus of Nazareth, and for the first time, I saw how he was portrayed by Franco Zeffirelli, how beautiful he was. Just the dignity and the nobility and his character. And I just said, you know what, I've been following rock and roll stars and sports and athletes and all these different people. I always thought they were cool and they were beautiful. They were nothing compared to Jesus. You know, they're good people and everything, but wow, I mean, this man is raising people from the dead. He's healing people. He's teaching with wisdom. He's talking about eternal life. I fell in love with him. The third S. What do teenagers do that are away at college? Well, as you might imagine, sex. There was swearing, stealing, sex. There were a lot of other stuff, but I just think of the three S's for one that I had to leave behind. And, I knew that I wasn't doing things right, and I cleaned my act up and became pure the best I could. And, of course, we're all in process. You know, I want to tell you that Jesus doesn't call us so much to perfection, but he calls us to what I call progression. It's a lifestyle of following him, and we're all invited. Come to me. So, you know, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you need to let something go, or maybe more than one thing. I'm praying that you will. That will open you up even further to the touch of God. So come to me, all you who labor. So all of us, it's an invitation to all of us to come ever more deeply, to get to know him, to experience his healing. And by the way, don't forget what already happened tonight. That's yours. Don't let the devil try to steal it. You walk out of here and say, you know what? I've been healed. And I'm going to claim that. My mind, my emotions, my body, my spirit. There's a new relationship now. So he said, all you who labor. Now, what are we talking about? All you who labor and are heavy burdened. You know, usually we talk about burdens as being anxiety and fear and guilt and shame, and those are burdens. But specifically in this verse in Matthew 11, Jesus was talking about the burdens of religion. And I have to tell you something, you know, this is going to sound strange. I'm a religious, and I'm a priest, but I don't like religion. My, it's awful quiet in here. I hate dead ritual. I hate rote, law-giving, ritualistic rules and regulations. I'm really not good at all that, following all that. And when I became a religious, I said, Lord, what am I getting into here? The church is full of all these laws. The church is full of all these rituals and rules and regulations. Now, I'm not saying that laws are bad, folks. You go out into the road and you don't have speed limit signs, you don't have stop signs, we're going to be in big trouble. But, you know, we can get so overly legalistic, and this is what Jesus was talking about, you who are burdened and heavy laden. Because the people of his time, some of the Pharisees were good, I was taught in seminary, but some of the Pharisees were just strictly religion. And they had these 600, beside the Ten Commandments, 613 priestly purity laws that they were laying upon the people. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, you bind up heavy burdens impossible for people to carry, and you don't lift one finger to release those burdens from people. And you don't even follow them yourself. So in other words, what Jesus was saying is that there's problems when we get all these human laws. I remember, for example, this didn't happen when I was in the seminary, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But I heard stories about, you know, way back before Vatican II, they used to teach you to, quote, say Mass. Now we don't talk about saying Mass. It's presiding at the Eucharist. I'm a presider. You all celebrate together with me. But they used to talk about saying Mass. And they used to teach them how to say Mass in a specific way. And they had to have this is called the orans position of prayer. Orans, an oratory, a prayer place. And they used to put rubber bands around their arms, so they'd only go so far with their arms. And they were taught that it's a mortal sin to go any further. There were priests that were deathly afraid to say Mass or to preside at the Eucharist because they were afraid that they would commit a mortal sin. See, that's the type of burdens we're talking about. And I think about today's Catholics. You know, what kind of burdens are you, what kind of religion burdens do you have? You know, and priests ought to be the type that help you to be free. Today at Mass, if you were there, the first reading from Galatians, the Magna Carta of freedom. was for freedom Christ has set us free. And Paul was, yes, he was talking about the Jewish law and how we have freedom in Christ. See, this is what he brings, a whole new... See, he didn't come to bring another brand of Old Testament religion. He came to bring a relationship. And we express it at Mass. We express it through our faith. Well, anyway, what are some of the burdens that Catholics have now? Well, I think one of them is confession, for example, not to go, but what happens in there. You know, I've been in the confessional for the last 15 years, and I've heard all kinds of stories, that's for sure. And I realize that people get nervous when they go in the confessional, and I know that because, you know, my hands are usually pretty warm once I'm in there. But oftentimes I'll shake a person's hand and they're the cold ones. And I remember I was preaching a novena in New Orleans just a few months ago. And I remember two women came in there to confession, and one came in and then another one came in at different times. You know how you start, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned"? One came in there and the other one came in and said the same thing. "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive." Because they were nervous. And I understand that. Well, anyway, at confession, you know, I think in the olden days you were taught, you know, you have to confess the times and the number. You know, what you did wrong, how many times, and what happened. And people would come in and say, "Well, Father, you know, I was angry 15 times. I lusted 7 times." And I'm thinking, what, do you count them? How do you know that, you know? That's not exactly the way we were taught. And I'm not trying to make fun of any way that people were brought up, but I'm saying that, you know what, people can be burdened with this. They're standing out there thinking, "Gee, do I have the right number? And if I don't, is it a bad confession?" Other, you know, it's funny for some. I'm glad you're laughing, but people are real serious about this. Other people, they think they forgot their active contrition. I used to get active contrition amnesia. I go in that confessional, I've got a great memory. That door would slide open, shh, I'd forget. You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. Instead of, "Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having a..." And then, you know, other people will leave the confessional. They'll leave the confessional and they'll go out to their car and it's like, "Oh, I forgot that sin. I didn't confess it. It's a bad confession." No, it's not a bad confession. I think anybody that's willing to come to Christ and go in that confessional and publicly confess your sins to a priest, that's a good confession. And don't let the devil or anybody else make you think it's not. See, that's a burden. See, you come to get free, not to go in there to get even more burdened. And unfortunately, that's happening. And if that's you, let that burden go. Lay that burden down. Then, of course, you know, there's people. And I grew up in the 60s. You know, I was born in 57. I grew up in the 60s, and everybody's trying to figure out my age now. 49. I remember when I was growing up and going through, you know, being brought up Catholic, I think the priest tried, but for some reason, you know, and I've heard about this in other denominations, it's this harsh, punishing, out to get you image of God is portrayed. I don't know why that is, but it came that way to me. And it came that way to a lot of people that I talk to. And that's religion that does that. That's all those rules and regulations. Now, don't go to Bishop Wiegand and say, "Father Cedric said don't follow any of the rules." No, I'm not saying that. Bishop Wiegand's a great man, and he's a good friend of mine. I don't want you blaspheming my name that way. No, I believe that there's got to be some rules and regulations. But primarily, you got to understand that God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. You know, there was a song out a number of years ago by Bette Midler. It was called "From a Distance." And it had to do, you know, she's singing one of the verses. It had to do with, you know, there was a lot of war and violence and everything in the world. But she said, "From a distance, the world looks blue and green and very peaceful." And then she said, "From a distance, God is watching us." And that doesn't mean that God is far from us. It means that God sees the best in us. He doesn't see the violence and the impatience and the irritation and the hatred and the jealousy and the lust and the anger. God sees the image of His Son in us. So as I said, you know, God's not out to get us. He's not mad at us. He's mad about us. And that can be a burden. If you have a harsh image of who God is in your life, I am praying that healing touch of Jesus will help you to lay that burden down. Because, I mean, what a way to live. What a way to pray if you think God's mad at you all the time. I mean, even if you've got some deep, dark sin that you haven't confessed, God still loves you. I mean, he loves you just the way you are. As I was talking about, you know, the prisoners in Folsom, God loves those prisoners in Folsom just as much as he loves you here tonight. And I mean, you're churchgoers, you're here on a Monday night coming out to a mission, but the difference is you're here receiving God's love, and many of those in prison aren't. They've got that wall up, those burdens are up, and they're deflecting God's love. And then, lastly, another religious burden that I see that people have, especially Catholics, is that burden of trying to be perfect and earn it. Earn what? Earn going to heaven. Now, we're always taught to be good, to follow the laws, to follow the commandments, and that's true. And again, I'm not saying don't be good, but I do want to say that you can never, ever be good enough. And that's something I've found out. And if you read the scriptures, and I'm trying to get you to do just that, you will find out that there's a whole new way. You see, the culture says, if you're good enough, then you make it. But the gospel says, because he's good enough, we'll make it. And, oh, I almost heard an amen there. There's a, you see, I'm a passionist. And a passionist is somebody who's professed a vow to the passion of Jesus, to the cross of Jesus. And, of course, that's what saves. That's what I've discovered when I was 19 years old, that thank you, God, that I'll never be good enough because I've done all the S's and everything else that you've all done, too. And thank God that church, again, is a hospital, a place that we can come to be touched and loved. So I start to conclude, I want you to soak this in. Remember what I said? He touches you just by getting in the atmosphere of faith, by hearing the truth, the gospel message. And you soak it in, and you pray, and you go home, and you think about it, and you come back, and you continue to live in that lifestyle of Christ. Well, anyway, there's a story that I love to tell about mercy. And if that's one of your burdens, you know, you're thinking, gee, you know what, you lay in bed at night, for example, and you're awake in the middle of the night, and you're thinking about your faith, and you're thinking, did I do enough? Was I good enough? When I die, will God receive me? Am I pure enough? And that's really not what you ought to be thinking. That's why I want you in the Bible. Because if you read the scriptures, it's all about, did I believe in Jesus' death for me on the cross? Did I receive him? And I pray that the answer is yes, because it's all about mercy. It's not about how good you are. But, you know, of course, if you believe in Jesus, you will change and you will become a better person. So I heard this great story, and I love to share this, and, you know, I want it to be on this CD, too. It's one of my favorite stories to tell. It's about this 76-year-old man who dies and goes before the pearly gates. And he's standing there, and there's St. Peter, and he welcomes him to the pearly gates. And he says, you want to get into heaven, don't you? And he says, yeah. He says, okay, well, here's all you got to do. You got to prove to me that you have 1,000 points. The man says, 1,000 points? How do I do that? He says, well, just tell me about your life. He says, all right. He said, I was born and brought up Catholic, baptized as an infant, confirmed when I was in the 8th grade, went to church just about every Sunday. I tithed. I was a Eucharistic minister and an usher. How many points is that? St. Peter said 2. And I mean, just like you, he got nervous. And he said, 2? And he starts thinking, ba 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 ba, and his, you know, his knees start shaking a little bit, and he goes, blah, 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 blah. He said, I was married for 40 years. I was always faithful to my wife. I raised 4 children in the faith. I was a Knight of Columbus. I helped at the soup kitchen, and for the last 10 years of her life, our mother-in-law lived with us. Her mother-in-law lived with us. He says, how many more points is that? And he goes, 2 more. The guy was just beside himself. He said, I'm not going to make it. He said, I'm going to have to throw myself on the mercy of God. St. Peter said, come on in. That's worth 996 points. Yeah. Isn't that a great story? That is so true, though. It's so true. So have you been trying to earn it? Are you burdened with perfectionism? Do you think God's mad at you? Do you think that you haven't been good enough or done the right things in confession? Lay your burdens down religiously. Come to me, Jesus said. All you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's your best friend. He's your Savior. He's your healer. He's your Lord. And I pray tonight that you'll know that he touched you deep within with the truth and with his love. And let me end with this story. I was over in Galilee. I studied over there, and I remember the Sea of Galilee is much like Lake Tahoe. It's a very beautiful place. And I think it's one of the favorite places for pilgrims to go. And I had the privilege of actually living there for a while. And I remember one time a group of us, about 40 of us, were going across the Sea of Galilee. And it was in a boat. It was a beautiful day, sparkling blue sunshine, blue waters of the Sea of Galilee. Captain got out in the middle of the sea, shuts off the engine, and somebody read the story about the stilling of the storm on the sea. We're all sitting there. It's real quiet. And we're just soaking it in. We're thinking about Jesus of Nazareth and the Son of God and what he can do, feeling real close to him. And then I'll never forget what happened. Somebody started singing a song I hadn't heard since I was like yay big. And it was the song, "Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man Who Stilled the Waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the seas. Take a look at yourself and you'll look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee." So put your hands on your laps now. And just put your hands in Jesus. He's there for each one of you. Those of you by tape, I want you to do the same thing. Unless you're driving. And just let Jesus touch you right now. Surrender your life to him. Put your hand in his. Thank you, Lord, that you've touched us. And oh, the joy that floods our soul. Something happened, and now we know that you've touched us and made us whole. And I ask your blessing upon your people. May they lay every burden down. And may God touch you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.